tomorrow. Get to know us at socialsecurity.gov.
The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Steve Bovee.
Taking care of business and working overtime.
With market insights and so much more, talk to Steve now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Steve Bovee.
Good music. Good evening and welcome to the Money Talk Show. This is Steve Bovee on Friday nights. Our number's here for a full hour. If you have a concern or a problem we can help you with, 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. Never really gave this a thought before in 25 years of doing this, but if you want to call us with a question, you should know that we will not ask you for any information to contact you, nor will we ask you to contact us outside of this conversation. That's marketing, and we don't do that on this program. It takes time away from what we're here for, and that is to share information. Markets were down today, closed down not as badly as they were during the day, down as much as 300. The Dow Jones closed down 40. The NASDAQ was off 25. All markets down in the red just slightly today, behaving in the same direction, which is pretty normal for markets. It's rare, as I've shared with you before, that markets diverge. Markets have been pretty flat since we saw that. Not predicting anything. I don't do that, and I don't move money, mine or anybody else's, out of fear or some kind of silly notion that I have the ability to predict what's going to happen. It just depends on the individual person. I think if you're younger, you tend to stick with things longer. If you're not, and you're older, and you've got some nice gains, maybe you should lock some of those in. What if you just hit age 75 and you've done okay with your money and you're pleased with it, but you're thinking, geez, maybe at my age I should go another notch down, you know, step down. And I had a meeting last week with one of my long-term favorite clients who turned 80 and was moderate in risk, and decided at that meeting to now downshift the last shift of life to conservative. Today, conservative might mean 2, 3, 4% return, where moderate might mean 4, 5, 6, and aggressive might only mean 7 or 8. These are just my assessments of from where I'm sitting, looking forward at what's happening in the world based upon rising interest rates and projected growth patterns of the major countries of the world. It looks like the next few years anyway, we should see some pretty good returns from the emerging markets of the world, which we haven't heard from for quite a while. This year probably outperformed the S&P, although no one expected the S&P to do what it did, especially me. But the emerging markets did not surprise me, and they actually ended up will finish probably, I think, a little bit better. But both doing well. We seem to have a global click going on. And it's funny, because it seems like all countries, the stock markets of all countries are kind of moving up. Where for about 2 years there, we had the opposite, where the average was kind of sideways. We shared that with you when referring to the global Dow. And if you look at 2014, 15, and 16, almost three straight years, if you had a 60-40 mix of U.S. and international equities in your equity mix, which would be pretty typical, you probably didn't have much of a gain there for that two-and-a-half-year period. Very frustrating. I think you have to be global. This is something I make clear with all clients up front. That's a style thing. It's an opinion thing. I think today, if we're older and we have a significant amount of savings, as hopefully you do, we do need a global posture or footprint with the portfolio. It's a more dangerous world than ever. I do think any one individual country is at risk more than ever, including us, the mighty U.S., of a disaster due to a variety of things, weather, terrorism. So I think if we're older and we want to be defensive, it'd be good to have investments that pay us dividends from the categories of energy and agriculture. In the worst of times, there are two things that human beings cannot be without. And if you narrow it down to two things in life that you need, you know, oxygen, obviously, and water, but food and energy are the two basic things that we can invest in. So in the disaster times, energy and agriculture or food can be a defensive posture or a bit of a insurance policy, if you will. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talk and business. Tonight we're going to talk about emotions. Are you excited or are you afraid? I'm not going to tell you how I feel yet. I think you probably know if you're familiar with me. But anyway, at times like this, I'm getting a mixed signal from people I talk with and people I meet with in the office. Some are excited about what's happening, and some are afraid. They think it's been going too good for too long, and that things have to come down at some point in some sort of a correction mode, and I think that's probably true at some point. We're going to talk about global growth prospects tonight also. Some good podcast suggestions. The last time interest rates rose in America, it was July of 04 to July of 06. And I brought with me tonight the research that I used to come up with, at least last time rates rose in the U.S., what happened to bonds in general. Now, this is something we've all heard a lot about. Bonds can be, although they're considered pretty conservative and safe by general terms, if interest rates rise quickly, long-term bonds particularly, long-term bonds, not all bonds, but long-term bonds particularly, can really have a decline in value on paper temporarily. If you don't sell them, you don't lose. But the world of finance is so emotional, such a mix of, you know, your brain and your heart. It can be very, very difficult, and some people have just terrible difficulty with it. I mean, I literally have had people come into my office who handled their own investments and had some very bad experiences, and then became a client and then went 21 years with me. I had a meeting last week with someone, and I thought back about this gentleman, and in 21 years, here's what he said to me. What do you think, pal? And great, let's do it. He was so bruised by what had happened, and it's dangerous. Now, some people have a natural head for it. I did at a very young age, and if you do, you can probably do a lot of this stuff on your own today, and it's very cost-effective. Our concern has always been that group that thinks they can do it and can't. What makes someone sell out of their 401k plan when it's down 50% two or three times in a row in the last 20 years? When I went through the very same experience, and I never made that mistake once. All my clients went through that experience. We met. We talked about what was happening. We talked about how bad it felt, how afraid we were. But never, not once, did my advice ever go to sell everything and lose half your money. So investing is emotional. Investing is you have more control over it than you might realize. Most investments, whether it be real estate, stocks, or bonds, will do what it's supposed to do if held long term. We, as humans, being as impatient as we can be, have a tendency, all of us at one time or another, have a tendency to try to force the long-term investment into the short-term, you know, evaluator. And what you get out of it is a bunch of garbage. It's not useful. So you need to evaluate long-term investments on a long-term basis and short-term on a short-term basis. It's relative to your time frame, your risk level, and your, of course, always anticipated need for the money. This program has been on the air for about 25 years. We are here every evening at 5 p.m. I'm the host on Wednesdays and Fridays. Monday and Thursday, of course, Don Soa, the founder of the program, the Grand Poobah, we call him. I call him. I got to tell him that one yet. I got to lay that one on him. He's the Grand Poobah now. And with the show being on the air for 25 years, I'm going to guess that he and I are probably the oldest hosts that do this in the local market. I'm 60 almost, and he's a little older than I am. And what does that mean? It means we've seen a lot. And that's all it means. It doesn't mean you're smarter than anybody else. It just means you've witnessed a lot, and that's a good thing in itself. So if something that we've witnessed may be helpful to you, you can reach us at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790 when I get back.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com.
So I always have big plans to start my shopping early. Then life gets in the way. But thanks to thecompanystore.com, I always get the gifts right. They make great homemade gifts that are perfect for everyone in my family. And if you know my family, that's a gift in itself.
TheCompanyStore.com has been perfecting the comforts of home for over 100 years. From cozy pajamas and mittens to home decor and more, visit TheCompanyStore.com and enter the code ELF by December 21st for guaranteed Christmas delivery plus free shipping.
This is Amy from Moriarty's Fence, the Invisible Fence brand pet safety experts. The Invisible Fence brand works for all dogs, all breeds, all ages. We start training puppies as young as 10 to 12 weeks old, and we also keep cats safe at home, too. The key to our 27 years of success is our customer service and pet training support. Our installed outdoor safety solutions start as low as $7.99 and can be customized for your property. Call 800-225-0808 for a free design and pet consultation visit, or schedule online at MoriartysFence.com. At Moriarty's Fence, we work hard so you can rest easy knowing your pet is safe at home.
But it just makes sense.
And it's Invisible.
It's the fence that makes sense. Get the Invisible Fence.
Moriarty's Fence, 800-225-0808. Keeping pets safe since 1986. Moriarty's Fence reminds you to support your local shelter, adopt, volunteer, donate.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
If it's time to replace your old, aging, fuel-wasting boiler, you need a specialist. You need New England Boiler Works, your boiler replacement and oil-to-gas conversion specialist, serving residential and small commercial properties with free estimates, one-day installations, and financing. New England Boiler Works has your new money-saving boiler. And ask about Navien on-demand water heaters with rebate. So call New England Boiler Works today at 401-256-9249 or neboilerworksri.com.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talk and business. Hey, 437-5000-1888-345-0790. If you don't have an issue now, write the numbers down. Keep them. Maybe a time in the future you could call. If you want to contact us via the internet as well here at the station, 790business.com, we'd be happy to address topics or do some research for you. Not only are some listeners shy about being on the radio, I've had clients and things that are successful people refuse to be a guest on the show. And they're clients of mine for 20 years, and we laugh about it till this day. They go, no way. They're just too afraid to do this, I guess. It's been so long for me, I don't remember being afraid of it. I'm still very excited to do it, that's for sure. But the fear of it has kind of dissipated at this point, I would think. A little touch of it, I think, is good, though, right? Hey, I told Nathan, my great son that joins me on Wednesday nights, this morning in the office, that I was going to talk about this tonight. And it was a comment that someone made to me in office. Nathan and I met with a couple for the first time. We were just chit-chatting, getting to know them. And he had offered me an approach to Social Security and his retirement that I have heard before. It wasn't that unique, you know. But it was the way that he worded it. And what he said was, he thought the thing to do would be to use up all his IRAs and 401ks and defer his Social Security so it's as big as possible, all the way to age 70, you know. Use up all the money, or use up a good part of his IRA, 401k, and savings, and then shift it all over to Social Security at the end, you know. And I thought, wow, imagine if you used up all your money and you get there and Social Security falters. Who do you think is more likely to fault, the Social Security or you handling your own money? And he laughed. He said, I think I get where you're going with this. It is just my opinion, but given the choice, I will always take the Social Security money first if I can get it without an offset. Footnote, folks, write that down. That means I would take it at 62 if I'm working part-time making under $14,000, whether I needed it or not, and I would fund other investments with it, save it. Social Security benefits have no estate benefit. If you die before you use that money, it just disappears. So from 62 to 70, that's 8 years on a benefit of $3,000 a month. 24,000, you know, 8 years, that's $170,000. I want that money in my name with my children's name as and family as beneficiary if I die. So I will not defer my Social Security unless I'm working and earning high income. Then you have to do it because you just give it all away. However, working at age 62, and also another conversation this afternoon, only job income counts towards your Social Security reduction. Pension doesn't count. Yes, you worked hard and you earned it, but it's not called earned income. For any current tax year that we're in, earned income is your job. Passive income isn't the same thing. Dividends, rentals, it's earned income. And so at 62, if you retire and collect your benefit and go back to work and make over $14,000, they start reducing your benefit. So I don't suggest you do that. My thoughts are, and they're just my opinion, to take your Social Security benefit as soon as you can without an offset, whether you need it or not. And if you don't need it, accumulate it somewhere. Grow it. Do something like that. Maybe begin an estate planning process if you think you have enough cash. Use it to do things to help the next generation. Using up all your money, and then in the end, you're old with no money, and Social Security better be solvent. I don't like that plan at all. I like just the opposite plan. As a matter of fact, I will be grabbing my Social Security dollars and making them Bove dollars as fast as I can get my hands on them, and then I'll use my own money to supplement around it. There are many things in the world of finance that are opinion. I think this might be one of them. What I mean by that is I will probably run it somewhere along the line, someone like the fellow today who was very smart, who thought this might be the right way to go. I can't understand that. I would never use up all of my money and then find myself later in life relying on the government only. Whew, not a chance in the world Steve Bove is doing that. So I will be applying for my Social Security benefit when I can receive it without an offset. That's probably going to be very late in life for me based on my plans. But as a strategy, I think it's a good one. Does it apply to everyone? Absolutely not. You got to hear a lot of different stories, you know, to hear what story might be appropriate for you. I once heard a man named James Rowan speak. He was a brilliant motivator. And he said in a speech that he read some books, and it really changed his life, you know. And he was recommending it to others. And a young man approached him and said, "Well, I read that book. Should I do it?" And he said, "No, read 5 books and make up your own mind." And the lesson there is to be a student, not a follower. Be a student, not a follower. Very important in the area of finance, I believe. 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. Podcast available at 790business.com. Check out the Wednesday night shows and Tuesday, because that's where the youth is. It's the future of the program. Donna Grace and Nathan, the current youth. And this program has another team of people that you don't get to hear back at the office. Daniel Soa, Wendy Fiola, and Kim Thompson. Phenomenal staff that we have at our organization that really never get credit unless I do something like this. So once in a while, I try to remember to make sure we thank them, because a lot of what goes on behind the scenes, you know, many times you don't see it. So there's actually about 7 of us behind this program. I am one of 3 hosts. We believe that Nathan will be, once he's a certified financial planner professional in the springtime, will be helping me in that area a little bit, giving him a little bit more leeway. I'm enjoying his history lessons on Wednesday night. Many of our clients have really said that as well. It made the you know, this rather dry topic that I deal with, I think, more interesting. And he has amazing communication skills of how to say things in a clear, precise manner. So if you're not available every evening, I would suggest you check out the Tuesday and Wednesday night programs on the Money Talk Show, because you get a blend of the youthful, younger, upcoming advisors and the old goats, I guess, or the old lions. I like lion better than goat, right? That's important, because Don and I are more afraid of risk now than we were at 38. And I think that the younger advisors are less afraid of it, and that's appropriate. You know, I think if you're 31 years old, you might not want someone my age advising you. Because how do I shut off my own natural feelings as a man 60 years old about risk and the journey of my life and how desperately I want to see people not lose any money at all? And I think for somebody very young, that could jade things in too conservative a direction. Now, I think if you're young and starting off and don't know anything, just get going. And once you have a reasonable amount of money saved and some knowledge of finance, then you can choose someone who is the perfect match for you, hopefully. I do believe that will usually be someone relatively close to your own age. I don't think somebody 78 is best suited with a 32-year-old advisor. I think the younger advisor would probably agree with that. That type of situation happens in the sales world, where people are selling financial products. But in the advisory world, where we work on a fee, it doesn't happen because the whole relationship develops differently. The customer generally comes to us. We don't chase them, and they don't come in looking for someone half their age. They want someone with, like themselves, some wisdom and life experience. Hey, we haven't heard anything about, I'm going to call this one, the Federal Reserves, or the Fed, federal government, their boogeyman. There's a boogeyman out there. You've heard of how much debt we have. Okay, and we're talking about letting it go higher again with this new tax bill. I'm not going to go into that, too complicated. But a lot of debt, right? Interest rates are on the rise. They're coming off the bottom, the lowest they've ever been in human history, which means there's a long way to go up, right? I don't know if it will or not, but there's a lot of room there to go, right? And as U.S. Treasury bonds, which are the shorter-term ones, bills are the shorter-term ones, and then bonds, as they mature, especially the shorter-term ones, are going to have to be renewed at higher and higher and higher rates. So what's going to happen is the debt service, the interest that our government has to pay to all this debt that we have, is going to go up, 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 up. And if we keep adding debt, we've never been through a time like that before in our government where we had such a long, high potential for rising interest rates, which is going to make borrowing more expensive for everyone, right? And who do you think has the most debt? That's right, the U.S. government. And no one, I don't believe anyone is even, I think they're afraid to look at it. That's how devastating it could be. If rates rise really fast over a 2 or 3 year period, the cost of to our government to service that debt and pay the interest could just skyrocket in mind-blowing ways, and we're not hearing anything about it. I guess there's enough to be afraid about right now when there's a lot to be afraid of. People tend to look away from other things. But the theme for tonight is, are you excited or are you afraid? I've gotten a mixed bag of emotion recently from people. That's often a sign of, I think, markets could be topping out. I think the younger ones get excited when they hear the things we're hearing right now. But if you're older and you've been through the ringer, as they say, you know, you may be thinking some different things right now. And my experience of late has been that the younger people are excited by it, and I think they should be, the younger people. But if you're older, you have a different idea about your money. You want to preserve it and have it make income. Where if you're younger, you don't necessarily need to preserve it just yet, and you surely don't need income from it. So the purpose of investing can be extremely different for somebody young versus somebody not so young. I'm 59 years old. I'm not so young. My risk category for my own money is moderate at my age. I know many people that stay aggressive at my age because they're knowledgeable in the business. But my nature, if I was not a financial advisor, would be to be very conservative. I'm very conservative with money as an advisor. But had I chose to be a marine mechanic, which would have been another choice of mine, I would always have been a financially conservative person. I was a saver at a young age. I still drive 10-year-old cars because they're cheap. I just can't stomach 30, 40 grand for a car, even though I can afford it. I can't mentally do it, you know. I think when I retire, then I'll do it. But in between now and then, I could just think of so many other things I'd rather do with the money, and that's why I do that with the cars, you know. So again, if you're thinking about your own retirement, and many of you are, because we know that the demographics of our program, you know, is skewed to middle and upper ages. And so if you had ever had the thought, and I don't want to offend anybody, especially the nice man I talked to today, if you ever had the thought of using up all your money and deferring your Social Security benefit to age 70 and then shifting your life to the Social Security benefit, I would please rethink that one. I see a potential disaster in that to end your life in the worst way possible. If you think the Social Security benefit system is solvent, I'd love to hear from you. If you're not afraid of it going under or faltering, I'd love to hear why in the world you would think that. I would love to hear anyone's opinion on why they would have that kind of ironclad faith in it. Now, I'm not saying it won't be there at all. I'm not going that far. But I do expect trouble. Expect trouble from a debt standpoint. Expect trouble from politicians using the money wrong. Demographic problems. We have a population of small group of young people that are the ones that pay into a system like that. lot of people taking out, few people paying in. There's all kinds of problems with it. How about means testing? You know, is it possible that 10, 20 years from now, if you have over so much in assets, they just say you're not getting it? You know, if you saved $3 million bucks, do you need your Social Security benefit? No, you probably don't need it. Should you get it? I think you should because you paid into it. If it was an entitlement program and you did not pay into it, then I would say no. If you don't need it, you shouldn't get it. But that's not what Social Security is, folks. Social Security is a retirement plan that we all pay into. Most of you pay 7% of your income all your lifetime, up to about $100,000 a year. And your employer has to match that. You might not know that or not. So half of that money all your life that built that benefit, your employer paid that for you. Now, how does Stephen know that? Because Stephen is self-employed all his life, independent contractor, and I have to pay both parts. So my Social Security tax is 15% per year. Yours is 7, most of you, if you're an employee status. But I don't have an employer, technically, from a tax standpoint. And so, therefore, it comes out that way. So anyway, I wouldn't trust it. I wouldn't rely on anything except the cash money you can control. Everything else I would be a little bit skeptical of. When we project out these Social Security benefits for clients, if you're in my office and we're talking about you retiring in 7 years and you tell me your Social Security benefit is $3,000 a month, when I list it in your plan, I'm going to reduce it. I'm going to shave it down a little bit. This is my son's good advice. You know, there's no harm in expecting it to be less than it actually ends up being. You'll just be happy because you'll have more than you realized, right? So expecting these plans to all go on, pensions and Social Security, without any trouble at all, I think is a dangerous thought. We'll talk about it a little bit more when we come right back.
Some teens have trouble just making it to graduation.
So we're at this shelter for battered women right now, but as of right now, I'm pretty much homeless. It's really hard, just especially the fact that I don't know where I'm going to go home to every day after school.
I ran away myself because, you know, I just want to leave all the problems away.
It's a lot going on at home. There's 10 people that live in the house with me, and sometimes I don't even have time to do a homework or study or anything for a test. So it gets very hectic.
But then I found out, face your fears. Like, just face them. Because if you keep running away, it's going to come worse. Like, it's going to be worse and worse. So just face it.
Even though we have different stories, it's like, it's good that we can all come together and have one thing in common, and that's, like, to want to graduate. I might not walk, I might skip hop, I might cartwheel across the stage.
Give Kiara, Danny, and Rebecca the boost they need to graduate. Go to boostup.org and send them a message in your own words. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The Christmas decor folks at Seascape Lawn Care are back in business for the winter season, for the Christmas season. You know how good they are in lawn care. Now it's time to hire them for decorating your home, because that's what Christmas decor does, holiday and event decorating. They come to your home and write up a plan based on what your dream is. You don't have to get on any ladders. You don't walk on any roofs. You don't have any Clark Griswold Christmas vacation mishaps. They string up lights. They've got the extension cords. They check your power outputs. They set everything on timers. They only use LED bulbs. And everything else that goes into your plan, the other decorations, outlining your house, your porch, windows, wrapping trees, driveway and stake lighting around beds and bushes, you name it, they'll do it for you. Seascape's Christmas decor, same great number, 800-294-LAWN. That's 800-294-5296. A no-obligation estimate is in the offing when you give them a ring. They'll come see you. Online at seascapeinc.com.
By washing your hands, you can prevent infections and avoid the need for antibiotics. Have a cold, flu, or a runny nose? You can feel better without antibiotics. Ask your healthcare professional about the best way to feel better while your body fights off the virus. Be antibiotics aware. Visit health.ri.gov/antibiotics. Sponsored by the Rhode Island Department of Health and the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association.
Oh! You are round MVP.
Yeah, man. Yo, Drew, I finally got round MVP. Round MVP.
No way. That was some ownage.
Finally earning round MVP takes determination. So will getting into college. I've got what it takes. So do you.
Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show, Friday afternoon, a weekly wrap-up. Here we are. Wow, it's December. Holy mackerel, another year. Wow. I was told that when I was 40. Wait till you're 60 and you think it goes by fast now. Wait. It seems to get faster and faster. A year is a shorter piece of time compared to what I've already lived. I'm a math guy. That's why I think why it feels that way. You know, when you're 10 years old, a year is a tenth of your life. And now a year is a 60th of my life, so it goes by quicker, faster, right? Hey, listen to this little money joke. To this day, the boy that used to bully me at school still takes my lunch money. On the plus side, he makes a great Subway sandwich. I guess the message there, guys, that bullies don't usually get too far in life in the long run, right? I saw a sign that said, watch for children, and I thought, that sounds like a fair trade. These are just some funny money things I picked up on the internet. On the Money Talk Show, hey, we're talking about more serious things here tonight. We're talking about a little bit about Social Security, and I would I feel very confident in my view on this, and that's all it is my view of it. The reason I feel confident is that I've been challenged on it several times in a cursory manner, and when I sat down with these people and discussed it for 15 minutes, almost every time they agreed with me when I was done. The flaw in putting off your Social Security benefit is apparently you trust these people, and I don't. Oh, I trust the people that work there. They're probably my family and friends, you know, and yours as well. But I don't trust the system. I don't blame any particular person for that, but I don't trust it. It's been mismanaged, misrun. It's underfunded. It doesn't even make sense anymore in a world. Pensions don't either, because what you end up with is a lot of people in the end taking out and nobody paying in. In the end, the population is shrinking. And that happens in all countries as they develop. Only emerging markets and underdeveloped nations still have birth rates of 6 or 8 children because they need to be educated on that topic, you know. Modern societies, people tend to. Nothing wrong with having a bunch of kids here in the USA if you want to, you know. Had a few clients along the way that did that, 9, 10, 12 kids. One of them was adopted. It was a couple I have as clients. I met, they ran a farm in South County, and they had 8 adopted handicapped children. When I met these two angels, I told them 20 years ago that I would do their financial planning for free for the rest of their life, and I've done that for them to try to help them out, take care of all these kids. But what kind of an incredible human being adopts 8 handicapped children and raises them for 20 years and tends to them and loves them every day? Just amazing, amazing stuff. Just had to share that, kind of popped in, out of my heart into my head for a moment. Global growth prospects. Next couple of years, you probably will see some better returns from the foreign markets. I have a report here on the global economy from out to 2033. So that's like another 15 years. Japan, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, Spain, Canada, France, Sweden, Australia, UK, US, and Russia all have projected growth rates of below 2%. That's not good for the stock markets. Thailand, South Africa, Mexico, Peru, Brazil, China, Malaysia, Turkey, Colombia, Indonesia, Philippines, and India, India being number one, has the highest projection growth rate of their economy. India is up as 5%. Japan showing 0, and good old U.S. at 1.5 projection. GDP reports lately have been closer to 3. That could be a bump that pulls back again. We'll see. But 3% would be pretty good if it stays at 3. 4's beautiful. I believe in the 80s we had 4% GDP growth for a while. Things really cooked a lot of time. But, you know, it's so sad because in the financial world, when things really do well, they almost always do go too far. And end in some kind of disaster, you know. It's like the person who can't have enough drinks to have fun, they got to go too far and ruin the night. That's how the markets work. They always go too far and break, right? So how do you protect yourself from these type of risks? You stay properly diversified. Make sure you can answer the question any given moment about your portfolio, what percent is in stocks, because that's where the real risk is. There's other risks too, but the stock portion is the biggest risk for most people. So if you're moderate, you're probably 60-40, 50-50, something like that. That should mean that if the stock market were to drop by a dollar, then you'll drop 50 cents. I don't know any way of insulating you completely from it without bringing your return down to 1%. It's the ironic fact that anyone trying to retire today, 30 years ago when they began working and thinking about retiring, somewhere along the line they learned that when you retire, you get conservative, you put your money in bonds, and you live off the income. Okay. When that story was told to that person 30 years ago, that conservative safe investment might have been paying 6%, and now it's 1%. What do you do about that? What we have, I think, is a large group of us, not me, but a large group of people, who have more risk in their account than they want because interest rates are so low. See, if you have a balanced portfolio, you're going to have some in bonds, right? And bonds are the lowest yield in history. So half the portfolio is weaker than ever in what it can produce. And so that's going to bring returns down. How do you compensate by that? You have a little more stocks and a little more risk. So if you've been through the ups and downs many times before, you'll probably weather the next one fine as well. But if you have a tendency or a history of selling and running away, and I've had many clients in my life that I've taken on simply to stop that bad pattern of behavior. I've had spouses call me and drag their spouses in, sit in front of me and say to me, tell them what you did after things recovered. Yeah, I sold all of it when it was down and lost 100 grand twice. The wife wants to kill the guy, right? No, that's not his fault. He wasn't trained to do this. But the reason that some people hire advisors is for discipline. It's one of the many elements of having a relationship. Some of you don't need that, so you're kind of a team member in that area. You know, I have clients for many years that never would imply selling anything when prices are low. Never. Ever, ever. It's an emotional decision. It has no bearing, I don't think, in the area of intellect. It's usually all emotional. And why do I say this? I don't want my voice or my assertive style to come off as a criticism. I don't at all. I'm going to see a guy tonight who did that twice and lost his money twice. Never talked to me. I know him. Never been a client. He's kind of someone I know on the side, you know. And I'll bump into him tonight. And he won't bring it up again, but he brought it up a few times to me how horrible he felt that he did that twice. He cashed out his 401k plan when it was down half and lost half the money. And the people that worked next to him that didn't do anything got every dollar back. Now, isn't that a terrible shame, you know? And I don't want that to happen to any 38-year-old guy again. That's how old he was when it happened. And he did it again. And I kept saying, why don't you just call me when you were feeling that way? You could find me. And you know what he said? He goes, I know what you're going to say. Leave it alone. And I didn't want to hear it. I said, well, you know what? You're absolutely right. That's what I would have told you. I wouldn't have told you to leave it alone. I would have told you to get out your checkbook and buy some more while it's on sale. And his eyes lit up, and he went, whoa, I never heard that one before. I said, well, that's the ultimate level of understanding markets, is you buy them when they're low. I have found with good teaching, you can get clients to not sell low, but getting the client to buy low, good luck. It's very, very hard to do. You're asking them to take money that's in a safe place and put it into an investment that of late had nothing but bad news. That's why the price is low, right? So it's emotionally very difficult. Those of us that survive almost 40 years, like I have in this field, I think you eventually become somewhat contrarian. Contrarian just means that you're not a crowd follower, and you believe that the crowd's usually wrong. That's probably the best definition of that. If you look at the times when average people pour most of their money into the stock market, it's when it's high, when it's up. Very little buying is done when it's low. So if you have a professional that you've hired that manages your account, that's their job. When the market is low, they are not supposed to have those emotional faux pas and to actually take advantage of this on your behalf to make some investments at very, very nice prices. Hey, you know, if you're walking through a Walmart or a Mercedes-Benz dealership, and over the microphone you heard that everything in the store is half off, you'd want to buy, right? Half off everything in Walmart, you'd think, buy, right? Okay, half off everything in the Mercedes-Benz dealership, buy, right? Okay, half off on stocks, what do people do? Sell. They do just the opposite. It's just a crazy, crazy human thing. It seems to be one of the most difficult things for us as humans to deal with on a psychological basis. And you know how you learn to not do that? You do it a few times wrong and you get hurt and you remember the pain from it. Just like market timing. In my experience, it's just my opinion. I never heard anybody my age ever talk about market timing. It's always somebody young who hasn't done it yet, who hasn't tried it. If you try it over a 20-year period, the odds are 98% you won't be able to do it. And that's the historical averages, anyway, of that sort of behavior. There's always that rare individual. A person could go on to be a Bill Gates, you know, who can do these things and maybe predict markets. They'd have to be much more intuitive than I to do that. And I believe that they do exist, but they're very, very rare, these folks. They're people who have some kind of, oftentimes have all kinds of other extreme mental abilities. And they're very rare. Savants, things like that. But unless you have an IQ of, you know, 220, I wouldn't try to predict any stock market. It's very difficult. And people a lot smarter than me, anyway, have proven that it cannot be done consistently over time. This is the Money Talk Show, encouraging you to be a calm and long-term investor. And I'll be right back.
Sponsored by TheraWorks Relief. To relieve muscle cramps in your legs and feet, use TheraWorks Relief. This fast-acting foam can also prevent muscle cramps. Get TheraWorks Relief today at select CVS and Rite Aid pharmacies or TheraWorksRelief.com.
Kids have the craziest ideas about food. Where do they get this stuff? Like eating Brussels sprouts helps you hit home runs. And eating carrots gives you X-ray vision. It's nuts. And I honestly have no idea where my daughter got this notion that broccoli is the official food of professional ballerinas. Kids, the only reason my 4-year-old loves cantaloupe is because he's convinced it comes from the moon.
One small step for man, lots of potassium for mankind.
And the other day when my oldest came up to me and said, Mom, will eating peas and carrots really help me pull off a fakie frontside ollie with a twist? I look him in the eye and say, it can't hurt, honey. It can't hurt.
Moms everywhere are finding creative ways to help their kids eat 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
So I always have big plans to start my shopping early. Then life gets in the way. But thanks to thecompanystore.com, I always get the gifts right. They make great homemade gifts that are perfect for everyone in my family. And if you know my family, that's a gift in itself.
TheCompanyStore.com has been perfecting the comforts of home for over 100 years, from cozy pajamas and mittens to home decor and more. Visit TheCompanyStore.com and enter the code ELF by December 21st for guaranteed Christmas delivery plus free shipping.
You wouldn't put a square peg in a round hole, so why would you deploy a traditional firewall in a modern decentralized network? Firewalls have new requirements for businesses leveraging SaaS-based applications and public cloud platforms like AWS, Azure, and Google Cloud. We're in the cloud generation now, so your firewalls have to be engineered to fit right in. Reclaim your cloud network. Try a Barracuda Cloud Generation Network or Application Firewall free at barracuda.com/firewalls.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Hoo-ah! Welcome back to the Money Talk Show. A very tired Steve Bove on a Friday night, but very excited to be here as always. Podcast at 790business.com. Check out Tuesday and Wednesday nights particularly, all 5 nights, of course. But those nights have, you'll catch the whole team. You'll catch the senior folks, Don and I, and our exciting young team members of the Money Talk Show. Check out some other podcasts to learn about money. Planet Money is one. You can look that up. I'm sure you can find that better than I could at my age. Bad With Money, another good one to check out. These are recommended from Barron's Magazine. About Death, Sex, and Money, all podcasts. Nathan was talking Wednesday night about the educational opportunity in the world with podcasts, and I had said to him that I was working on my boat this summer in a driveway, and I had my laptop on a chair next to me, and I watched a guy in Nebraska put a water pump in a 50-horse Mercury outboard, and then I could do it. It's really amazing. Hopefully, we can use it for a really valuable education to get good jobs and improve your skills. If I had to simplify the employment outlook from a financial standpoint with my experience, I would say probably the same thing I always said, and that was that the best job opportunities or job growth should be in technology, finance, and healthcare. I said that 30 years ago. I don't think anything's changed. I think it's the same thing. I think it's probably 3 of the best sectors to invest in, too. So if you're thinking about, you know, long-term, I think those sectors are good. What's going to, I think, define our future, the whole human race, actually, those three categories. There's many other things that are important as well. But those are standard things that we can involve, invest in. So check out our podcast, of course, at 790business.com. Planet Money, Bad With Money, and Death, Sex, and Money are some others you might want to learn from. I've talked about this many times, and I never brought it in with me, but I brought it in with me tonight. This is item number five tonight. The last time interest rates rose in the U.S. was July of 04 to July of 06. So 24 months, the Fed raised interest rates 17 times. Too much, too fast, in my opinion. And it turned out, in my opinion, to be evidence of that, to follow that anyway. Difficult job. Anyway, let's take a look at some bond categories during that two-year period, and how did they do? We're in a very similar, at least, environment right now, right? The aggregate bond index, which is a blend of everything together for the 2 years, averaged a 2.9% per year for those 2 years. 10-year U.S. Treasury averaged 1.7. 6-month CDs averaged 3.3. Cash averaged 3.1. That would be money market. And the number one performing bond category, the last time rates rose in America, floating rate bonds, 5.8. So that's why I like them. That's why I hold them. I have quite a position in floating rate bonds. The word implies what's going on there, right? Floating rate. Bonds that get clobbered when rates rise is because they're non-floating rate. They're fixed rate. These bonds, the bond itself doesn't change, but they're such short term that any of the investments that the fund makes returns the cash back in the account within a year and a half, maybe very ultra short term. Floating rate bonds are really ultra short term high yield bonds. They have price fluctuation because they're high yield, and they have high yield because they're high yield, but they have high liquidity also because they're short term. But pretty volatile little category can be anyway. Volatility is a funny thing. If you don't react to it, I'm not sure how much it matters. You know, it's like if no one hears you scream, did you scream? I guess, or the tree fall in the forest kind of thing. You know. Anyway, the last time rates rose in the U.S. Was that time frame, 2 years, and those were the basic fixed income categories you could choose from. Now I went a step further and said, okay, what bond categories did best the last time rates rose in the U.S. and that was the list. The S&P 500 gained 10% in 2 years. The European index gained 40% when rates were rising here in the U.S. And emerging markets gained 70% in 2 years. That's right. It seems to be rising interest rates in the U.S. is what gets the emerging markets all worked up and rolling along. And so I don't plan on holding too much for too long. It's a very difficult category. Not something I think of normally as owning always. Maybe a small position if you're very young. Me being 60 years old, the emerging market funds that I like, I look for dividends, and not as easy to find there, because when we talk about emerging market investing, those of you that are more sophisticated would know that almost always means small aggressive stocks, new companies, very aggressive stuff. But I hold one that pays a real nice dividend of almost 4%. And invest in food companies and electric companies and supermarkets, all safe staple stuff, you know. So it's a different day today, and the new world of exchange-traded funds makes investing like choosing an ice cream flavor. You know, I mean, there's no end to it. The ETFs were designed to come out to be indexed and low-cost and not managed, and now we're seeing offerings of managed ETF funds. I think what happens is when the industry goes through one of these reorganization things, they grind down the cost, they get more efficient at things, and then they move forward again. I gotta believe there may always be a place for a managed fund. People like us that manage accounts for a living tend to use indexes because we're the managers. So you don't want to paying somebody to manage managers. That doesn't sound like the right thing to do to me. And picking individual managed stock funds, for example. That even ones if you go out and say, well, this one has a record of 10 years of beating the S&P, the odds are it won't the next 10 years. And so I've heard that theory before from people I really respect, too. But I think that there's a little bit of a hole in that one, in that implying that choosing a mutual fund that has beaten the S&P for the last 10 years, that it will do it the next 10 years, I mean, it might, and it's probably a better guess than one that didn't, but I'll bet if you do the research on it, you'll find that 75% of the time it doesn't happen that way. There are always funds that beat the market, but they're always changing. And it's like somebody always wins the golf tournament, but it's almost always somebody different, right? It's that kind of a thing. It's very difficult to kind of get a handle on it. So be careful out there with your investments. I think we're at a peak in some things. U.S. stocks seem rather pricey to me. And if we don't get a certain type of tax bill, most of the people I talk to expect some sort of a pullback in prices in the market. We don't get it. I think if we do get it, we kind of move along as we've been going. I think it's pretty much expected to happen at some point, you know. Insider selling, note number 6 for tonight. If you own an individual stock and you read a report or hear in the news that an insider has been selling the stock that you own. Now, this person's an insider. They may have found the company. They may run the company. They clearly know more than you do, right, about investing and things. Look who they are, right? They're a leader inside of this company that you own stock in. And you're concerned because you read in the annual report or you read somewhere that a big shot person inside was selling their shares. And many years ago, I had a client approach me about that and ask me if what I thought about it. And he said, should I just sell it? I mean, why would I want to keep the stock if the guy that owns the company isn't keeping it? And I thought, well, if you word it that way, I would tend to agree with you. But I said to him, why did he sell his stock? And the guy just blanked, looked at me blank. He said, what? I said, why did that person sell their stock? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, what if they had to pay for a big wedding? Or what if the stock had just grown that it represented too much of their pie? And good risk management says, just cut that back some. And he smiled and said, well, I wouldn't even have thought of these things. My point is, you can hear something in the financial world like insider trading. And when an insider is selling, you should sell. Many times, not at all. They might not be connected at all. You have to know why, what's going on. Now, if you see all 7 executives in one company selling, I would say the odds are very good. That's not a good sign. But any one individual could be a big college tuition, could be starting a business, could be diversification move. You never know. So if you trade stocks and you use the insider trading information, the suggestion tonight is just to dig a little bit deeper and find out who it was. Was it more than one person? What's the person's age? What are their kids' ages? If the kids are all 20 to 30, he's paying for weddings, and she's paying for weddings, right? Or if they're in college age, it could be for that. So you never know. So you don't want to misinterpret these type of things. If you're going to use them, you got to use them right. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. You heard last week about poor old General Electric. Very few of my clients own that because I don't like individual stocks usually. There have been exceptions along the way, but generally I don't like them. Individual stocks carry the maximum amount of risk available in the investment world, and I think that investing in these new, very cost-effective exchange-traded funds, in my opinion, is one of the better ways of doing it. But I'll tell you what, 10 years ago, if you said to me, what about General Electric, I might have made the mistake of saying, you know what, if I had to pick one stock, though, that probably is pretty foolproof, it probably would be that one, and I would have been completely wrong. Please make a note of that as a lesson in how tricky and difficult this can all be. Hey, this is Steve Bovee wrapping things up for the Money Talk team. Next week, Monday evening at 5 p.m. for Don Sowa right here on AM 790, your station for talk and business.